so he takes a hot one. What an authoritative joke. Tell that one at a dull party and watch as the other guests suddenly come to life and remember important dental appointments. But it's not enough merely to know a lot of great jokes. You also have to be able to tell them properly. Here are some tips. 1. When you tell vicious racist jokes, you should first announce that you were a liberal back when it was legal to be one. 2. Men have a certain body part that women do not have, and men always think jokes about it are a stone riot. But if you tell such a joke to a woman, she'll look at you as though you're a baggie filled with mouse remains. I don't know why this is, but it never fails. So you want to avoid this particular type of joke in coeducational social settings such as Windsor Castle. 3. If, after you tell a joke, somebody attempts to tell you one back, you should keep assuring him that you haven't heard it, and then, when he gets to the punchline, no matter how funny it is, you should react as though he just told you the relative humidity and say, "Yeah, I heard that." 4. Never attend a large dinner party with my former mother-in-law, because she will shout across the table at you, "Tell the one about the man who's seeking the truth and he finally gets all the way to Tibet and the wise man tells him that a wet bird doesn't fly at night." And then she'll insist that you tell it. And then she'll tell you you told it wrong. And you might have to kill her with a fork.
Snooze. Readers are sometimes critical of me because just about everything I write about is an irresponsible lie. But now I'm going to write a column in which everything is true. See how you like it. Our first true item comes from a news release from the J.I. Case Company. For the benefit of those of you who have real jobs and are not involved in the news business, I should first explain that a news release is an article that has been typed up by a public relations professional hired by a client who wants to get certain information published, which is then mailed out to several thousand newspapers, almost all of which throw it away without reading it. If you ever commit a really horrible crime and you want to keep it out of the papers, you should have a public relations professional issue a news release about it. You ask, wouldn't it be more efficient if the public relations professionals simply threw the releases away themselves? Frankly, that is the kind of ignorant question that makes us journalists want to forget about trying to inform the public and instead just sit around awarding journalism prizes to each other. But I'll tell you the answer. Because this is America. Because 200 years ago, a band of brave men got extremely cold at Valley Forge so that the press would have the freedom to throw away its own releases without prior censorship. That's why. Anyway, this release from the J.I. Case Company opens with this statement. J.I. Case and Burlington, Iowa, the loader backhoe capital of the world, today jointly celebrated the production of the 175,000th case loader backhoe. The release said they had a nice ceremony attended by the mayor of Burlington, a person named Wayne W. Hogberg. So I called him up to confirm the story. He works at the post office. Does Burlington really call itself the loader backhoe capital of the world, I asked? Newsmen are paid to ask the hard questions. Oh, yes, replied Mayor Hogberg. We definitely lay claim to that. We use it whenever we have the opportunity. As a mayor, I sort of rub it in with any other mayors I have occasion to meet. I bet that really steams the other mayors, don't you? I bet they are consumed with jealousy when mayors get together. Our second completely true item was sent to me by Mr. H. Boyce Connell, Jr. of Atlanta, Georgia, where he is involved in a law firm. One thing I like about the South is folks there care about tradition. If somebody gets handed a name like H. Boyce, he hangs on to it. Puts it on his legal stationery, even passes it on to his son, rather than do what a lesser person would do, such as get it changed or kill himself. What H. Boyce sent was a copy of a decision handed down by the Georgia Court of Appeals in the case of Apostathanasu versus White. It seemed the former had hired the latter to mow her lawn. What happened next, in the words of the court, is that White allegedly slipped on some dog feces concealed in the tall grass, and his left foot was severely cut as it slid under the lawnmower. I'm not going to tell you how this case came out because you'll want to find out for yourself in the event that it is released as a major motion picture, but I will say by way of a hint that in the court's opinion, neither party had actual knowledge of the specific deposit of dog feces on which White apparently slipped. Our next item comes from a release sent out by the Vodka Information Bureau in New York City. The Vodka Information Bureau has learned that a whopping 42% of the women surveyed considered themselves primary decision makers in deciding what brand of vodka to buy. This raises